The following is a recording from the sermon files of the Beacon Church of Christ. To God be the glory always.
Glad to see everybody out this morning. That's a good crowd. Even with Chase gone, y'all showed up. That's good. Probably thought Jordan was going to preach the first lesson. But look, come back. Let's fill this place up for Brother Jordan, too. It's always nice when you stand up here the first few times. It's very fearful, but it is good to still see people sitting in those pews knowing that you're interested in the Lord's Word, and certainly we want to support Brother Jordan. So plan on being back after lunch. Let's come back and support him. Let's make him a little nervous because there's so many people in here, and help him get over that fear. And at the same time, let him know how much we love him and how much we love the Lord and want to learn more and more. Brother Lane just read from a verse in chapter John that all of us should really, really pay close attention to. If you read there in John chapter 14, verse 15, it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." This is Jesus speaking. "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Today we're going to talk a lot about one of the most important, very large word that's used in the Bible, probably 1,590-something times, 1,600 times in the King James translation. It's huge. Two letters, I-F, if. "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Well, if is a conditional word. It's a conjunction that says what comes after is conditional. And the Bible is full of this. I just told you, I believe it's 1,595 times, according to the spiritual sword, that this is in the King James translation. 1,595 times "if" is used in the King James translation. So what happens then if you love me, keep my commandments? What happens if you don't keep his commandments? Then the condition is you don't love Jesus. So see, people, we hear people all the time go around and they say, "Oh, I love Jesus. I sure do love the Lord. Man, I love God." But their actions defy this because they're not keeping the commandments that the Lord gave us. You see, so many people think that we're not under any law at this time because the Jews were under the Old Testament. Okay, they were under the old law, the Mosaic law. And when Jesus came, he said, "I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it." So Jesus came and fulfilled the law of Moses. It was done. It did what it was supposed to do. And then he ushered in as he died on the cross. He was buried, and he was raised on the third day. He was seen 40 days of the disciples. And then he ascended into heaven to be at the right hand of God. He ushered in the new law, the law that all men and women today are under. It doesn't matter where you're from. Doesn't matter how much money you make. It doesn't matter how smart you are. Any of this. Doesn't matter how cool you are, if you got, you know, if you're in with the cool kids or whatever. We're all under the same authority. See, I've had people ask me in the past, "Well, you know, what if I wasn't a Christian, you know, when I did these things, and so now am I bound to it?" Well, whether you submitted yourself to God's law or not, you were still under it and bound to it. It's kind of like if you said, "Well, I'm from Arkansas and I just came through Louisiana," and you broke a law that in Louisiana was different than in Arkansas, they don't care. They're going to still give you the ticket. So the same thing goes for God's law. Ignorance is no excuse. We have to know it. That's why 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto" who? God. "A workman," there's work involved in this, "that needeth not to be ashamed." Because if you understand God's word and you submit yourself to it, there's no need to be ashamed because there's nothing to be ashamed of. rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly? Correctly dividing the word of truth. How do you divide the word of truth? You study it bit by bit, piece by piece, and you believe it as it is written and the way it is intended. You don't try to study it to justify what you're doing. Because Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He didn't say, if you love me, you'll read the Bible and then figure out for yourself what you want to do with it. It's not what he said. If you love me, keep my commandments. Well, let me explain something to you real quick. If you don't love the Lord, you're not going to heaven. Okay, here is the significance of it. Jesus has told you what it takes for you to love him right here in a very simple sentence. If you love me, keep my commandments. So if you're not keeping his commandments, I don't care how much you tell me that you love him, you don't love him the way he expects and demands. Jesus didn't give this as an option. He gave it as a condition. It's conditional. Okay? So 2 Peter 1:10 says, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Well, you turn over to 2 Peter, and you look at it real quick, and I want you to highlight through 2 Peter, and I want you to look in the first chapter and read all the way down to verse 10. And let me tell you something, you're going to find out what things you must do so that you won't fall. Because there's people out there, the majority of what the quote Christian world is telling you that once you believe on Christ and you accept him into your heart, that you cannot fall. That no one can take you from his hand. Well, first off, there's more to getting into Christ than just that. And we'll go over that at the end of this sermon. However, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that nobody can force you out of the hands of the Lord. But in fact, you can hop out of the hands of the Lord anytime you choose. And if you do, you're just as lost as you were before you obeyed the gospel. So you need to get that through your mind too. If you do these things, ye shall never fall. It's conditional. There are a lot of things that are written before that verse that you must do so that you will not fall. I'm going to leave that to you to study it, because you ought to want to go look into the scriptures and see what that says. Because if you don't, it tells me that you're really not that concerned. So I've given you one section of scripture I want you to go read. 2 Peter chapter 1. All the way through verse 10. You can read further if you want to, but at least read down to verse 10. Because you're going to see that you don't get to just say, come into my heart, Lord, and then I don't have to do anything. Now, they'll tell you, well, but you'd want to do these things. No. He says, if you do these things, then you shall never fall. Make your election and your calling sure. How? By doing these things. Okay? It's if. See, in the Old Testament, there's people that believe that the Israelites today will get another chance on top of the chance they've already gotten. What did Jesus say? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. They got the first opportunity. The fact that the majority of them rejected it, they don't get a second chance if they don't come and accept what he has left for. They're not going to be the end of the world and then they get another chance, okay? When the Lord returns, nobody gets another chance after that. Our chance is while we live. It's not after we've died. Nobody can pray us out of a place. Nobody can trade places with us. Nobody can spend enough money here on this earth to get us out. So you better take care of it while you're here. While you have a breath in your body, while you understand what it is that you're hearing and you're studying, you got to make that choice. So you go and you read that. 1 John 1:6 and 7. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, that's God, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, that's us with God, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, then we lie. Because there is no darkness in God, no shadow of turning. Read up the verse ahead of that. It tells us there's no darkness in God. So if we say that we have fellowship with Him, and yet we continue to walk in darkness, then we lie. We don't have fellowship with Him. Because we can't fellowship Him when we walk in darkness. It's impossible. God can't even look on that. He hates sin. Darkness is sin. But if we walk in the light, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, God is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. That's talking about you, if you're walking in the light, that's fellowship with God. Think about that. Don't you want to have fellowship with God? And then the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Because you see, Jesus went to the cross to shed His blood, to be the perfect sacrifice, the only sacrifice that was sufficient to wash away our sins. But see, we don't get to get the benefit of that blood if we're walking in darkness. So for you, His shedding of blood was in vain, if that's what you choose to do. You, people say, well, it's a free gift. It is a free gift. All you got to do is do what He told you to do. It's conditional. It's free, all right. You could never merit salvation, by the way. We ain't nothing but a bunch of filthy rags. But thanks to God, He sent His Son to this earth to die the most horrendous death, to carry your sins, my sins, everybody's sins of all time to that cross, and to shed His blood so that it could be washed away, so that we could be pure as snow. It's conditional. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. Revelation 3:20. The Lord is knocking at the door. But I want you to understand, when you read this verse, He's not only knocking, He's speaking. Okay? He says, if any hear my voice. Well, what's the voice? It's the words that God has left for us in the Bible. If we'll listen to those words and we hear them and we will take them into our heart and we will obey them, then He will let us come in. And He will sup with us. And one day, literally, we will be with Him in heaven. And that's what our goal should be. That's what we should want. You know, John 14:15 said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Well, John 15:14 is kind of similar. It says, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. This is Jesus speaking also. Do you want to be a friend to Jesus? How many people tell us, oh, Jesus is my friend? Well, if you do whatsoever He commands you, you're His friend. If you don't do whatsoever He commands you, you're not His friend. And let me tell you something. He's not going to be your friend either, because on that great day, that day where we hear the shout of acclamation and the trumpet sounds, and all of a sudden, all these angels start coming to take vengeance on those that know not the Lord and keep not his commandments. Jesus is going to be the one that says, "Depart from me." There's going to be a lake of fire that's prepared for those that's not willing to accept his commandments here on this earth. And that's where the devil and all his angels and all those that have worked against the Lord are going to be. You don't want to be there. God does not want you to be there. 2 Peter 3:9 says that he's not willing that any should perish. So he doesn't want you to perish. He's give you all things. What did Jesus say? "Take my yoke, because it's light. You know, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." See, the things that he asks you to do are not things like scaling the tallest mountain in the world without oxygen. Because if you did, only so many people could do it, right? But the things that the Lord has told us to do, the things that God has delivered to us in the Bible by Holy Spirit inspiration to the men who wrote the Bible, are not difficult to do physically. Doesn't take a rocket scientist, but it does take somebody that loves God enough to put themselves behind a little bit. We can't be selfish and serve God the way that he intends us to. You know, he goes through and says, if you love father and mother, the Lord does. He said, if you love father and mother more than me, son and daughter more than me, you're not worthy of me. Well, let me tell you something. If you love yourself more than you love God, you're not worthy of the Lord either. So we have to learn to put others ahead of us, to esteem others more than we esteem ourselves. See, these things are difficult not because they're hard to do physically or mentally or emotionally, but they're hard to do because we have egos and we have this fleshly body that we war against. You see, we fight against the flesh. But you know, Jesus understands, because he came in the flesh and lived on this earth. He knows what we go through. And he did it without sin. He provided the perfect example, and he gave us his body. He was sacrificed on a cross so that we could have hope. Because God knew that we were going to need redemption. From the foundations of the earth, he had a plan to redeem man, even before man had sinned. That's how much God loves us. He sent his only begotten Son, who was guiltless, sinless, forsaken by all. And we're going to sit here and we're going to quibble about little bitty things that don't mean anything. And we're going to think about ourselves when we should be thinking about somebody else. Let us not do that. Let us put God first. Go to Ecclesiastes, the last chapter, the last few verses. Solomon had this to say after he had spent the whole time in Ecclesiastes telling you about the folly of all the things that he had done looking for happiness and joy and peace. See, Solomon had done it all, seen it all. You know what he said? It's vexation of spirit. And basically he said none of it gave him what he needed. None of it. Vexation of spirit, and said something else too, but I can't remember right now. But anyway, it basically meant it didn't meet the expectations that he had. So what did he tell us in the last chapter, last few verses? He said, let's hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Later on in the New Testament, Jesus said it like this. He said, You must love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, spirit, and strength. You must love your neighbor as yourself. You must love your enemy. Pray for them and do good unto them. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to the Jew first and to the Greek. Why? Because do you want anybody to go to that place that's prepared for the devil and his angels? People fickly use the statement, then you just go to you know where. You know, that's the worst thing you can say in some ways. You really want somebody to go to that place? Let's don't ever be caught saying something like that to someone. Because God didn't want anybody to go there. He loves everybody. He hates sin. He hates every single one. Why does he hate sin? Because it separates you, the sinner, from him. And if you're not with him, you're with Satan. God does not want you to be with Satan. He does not want you to be. Then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If. If you continue in my word. You see, that doesn't mean we can accept the gospel, obey the gospel, do what's told, and then we're done. We can retire now. We got it made. If you continue, that's forever, then you're my disciples indeed. In other words, truly my disciples. Do you want to truly be a disciple of the Lord? Then you must continue in his word. Now, we can mess up, but we have an avenue of repentance, don't we? We can ask God to forgive us if we're one of his children. And if we repent, which means turn away from that and get away from it, he will forgive us. He is faithful to forgive us. Are we faithful enough that when we've made mistakes to come back to him, to humble ourselves, to walk down the aisle and not worry about if somebody says, boy, you know, I don't care what somebody says when I walk down that aisle. If I'm separated from God, I want to be back with him. Because if the Lord comes while I'm separated, I'm going to hell. Let me tell you something. If he comes back before you have got your life straight, you're going to hell too. He's not going to be a respecter of persons and say, I know you didn't get as many chances, and I know you had it rough. And I know you had pressure at home, and you had all these things. He's going to say, you're not one of mine. Know the truth. Live the truth. And the truth will set you free. You know that the New Testament words, why this is so important, and you can see this one is beat up. Tricia has banged this Bible to death. She's used it. I borrowed it today. It's gotten use. All of our Bibles should have use. Wear. Tear. Not because we're abusing the Bible, because we're using the Bible. This is the only book that has the words that has the power to save your soul. You think it's important? If you got 100 of them in your home, and they come by tomorrow and say, look, we'll give you $1 million. For all your Bibles, but you can never ever go by what's in it again. You're going to sell it for $1 million. How much is your soul worth? Better be getting into this book. I've studied a lot of books, but this is the only one that matters. This one. Yeah, I needed what I've learned to work here on this earth. I won't need it when I leave this earth. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Mortify, what does that mean? Doesn't mean, oh, I'm terrified. That's the first thing you'll get in a dictionary today on mortify is, oh, it terrified you. No, that's not what it's talking about. If you mortify your body, mortify your flesh, that means take and don't submit your flesh to every little pleasure that you want. You need to learn to subdue your flesh and to deny yourself worldly lust and pleasures. We got to take control of this flesh. This is a temporary vessel that we have. Let's make sure that we mortify our bodies. We learn to practice those things so that we don't have to give in to the temptations that come our way so easily. We need to mortify our flesh. We need to learn to subdue it and to use it to God's glory. Ask yourself when you're doing something or you're about to do something, does this glorify God? If it doesn't, don't do it. If it does, not only do it, try to help teach somebody else how to do it. Does that make sense? We need to do that. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Doesn't sound like a person can't be lost after they're saved, does it? Of course you can be lost after you're saved if you walk away from him, if you begin to put your body back into sin. But I want you to listen to this closely. If any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. Okay, we're talking about eternal death in hell for the soul. You have saved that soul from that, and you should hide a multitude of sin. How? Because when a person repents and comes back to faithful service to God, God doesn't only forgive, he forgets the sins. Hard for us as humans to do that, isn't it? It's hard for us to forgive because it's hard for us to forget. We say we forgive, but then our actions show that we haven't because we didn't forget. What we need to learn to do is to humble ourselves and look. Every time somebody comes back and tries to make something right for us, we need to look at the things we've done wrong in the past. And we need to be humble. And we need to grab them and hug them up and love them just like the father did with the prodigal son. He ran and met them halfway. You know, you can tell if a person's coming back. Boy, they're not coming back like this if they're repentant, are they? They're coming like this. They're beat down. They are subjecting themselves. They're humbling themselves. We can see the attitude. Let's be quick to forgive. Let's be quick to repent. You know, David was a man after God's own heart, but boy, he sinned. Why was he a man after God's own heart? He truly did love God. You can look, if you look at all the Bible verses that have him in it, but he was quick to repent. When it was pointed out, he didn't just say, and start making excuses. He would try to make it right. And that's what we must do. This morning, as you sit there and you think about your condition, and you think about all of these conditional statements, the ifs that's in the Bible, the 1,595 times in the King James translation that it's there. Old Testament, New Testament. God's promises have always been conditional. I want you to remember that because I don't want somebody to steal your soul by convincing you that it's not. I want you to remember Adam and Eve. They had a condition. They did what he told them not to do, and they were cast out of the garden, and they're not living today. They're dead. Okay, we're going to die. We're all going to die one time if the Lord doesn't return while we're living. But then our flesh shall be changed even if we're here, because we're going to be changed into a spiritual body with a twinkling of an eye. Well, let me tell you something. If he doesn't return before you reach that point, you're going to die physically. Do you want to die the second death? I don't. You see, that's the permanent death. That's the death that will never, ever end, and it's a painful death. And those of you that's known the Lord before, if you're not right, boy, it's going to even be worse, because you're going to know I was right there, and I gave it up. Bible says that we have to hear the gospel, okay? We sure do. We got to believe it. We got to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He bled on that cross, sacrificed. We got to be willing to repent of our past sins, okay? Totally turn away from them. Die to the sin. We're baptized into Christ's death. That is a shadow of that. It is an idea that we're being buried with Christ. The old man is dying. The sin is dying. Our sins are washed away because we come into contact with the blood of Christ in baptism. Why? Because God said so. I don't have to understand everything. It's pretty simple what he told us to do, though, just like he told Naaman the leper. Dip yourself 7 times in the River Jordan and your leprosy will be washed away. If you don't want to do it, tough. You don't have to understand why. I know the river might be dirtier than your rivers at home, but I told you to do it. So he told us, hear the word, you've heard it. Believe it, that's your choice. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died for your sins. Repent of your sins. Turn away from them 180 degrees. And then, in obedience to it, be baptized into Christ. You can't go to heaven unless you're baptized into Christ. Let me tell you, when your sins are washed away and they're forgiven, Jesus Christ will add you to his church. It's his church. It's not man's church. We are a part of it once he's added it to us. We can't vote on you to go to heaven. Boy, that'd be terrible if we could take a vote. Somebody could have a grudge against you. No, we're added to the church. But once you come out, you are supposed to be a new creature, dead to sin, and you're supposed to live your life for Christ from then on. And if you stumble, you're supposed to come forward, repent of those things. If it's a public sin, then you need to come forward. If it's not a public sin and you want to come forward, you can. We can pray for you. But you have to ask for repentance. You have to, forgiveness, I mean. You have to repent and ask for forgiveness if you sin after you have been added to the church. So I want you to think about yourself right now. Where you at? Where are you going to go? If 2 minutes from now the Lord returns, or if your body falls because it's no longer strong enough to house your soul and you die, where are you going? Where's your soul going? Where is the real you going? So as you consider that, if you have any need whatsoever, I beg that you come forward if you need to.
You've been listening to a sermon from the Beacon Church of Christ. Perhaps you'd like to hear more of these sermons in person. We would love to have you visit our congregation. We are located at 2326 Jonesboro Road in West Monroe. Join us on Sundays at 9:45, 10:30, and 2, and Wednesday nights at 7. A warm welcome awaits you. Come see us soon.